stories of Ukrainian biolabs have been promoted by some and denounced as conspiracy theories by others. So what's the truth? Today, we're going to ask not only whether there are Ukrainian biolabs, but are they funded by the United States government? I'm John Kiriakou, and this is The Whistleblowers. Amid the ongoing crisis in Ukraine, the Biden administration has passed a $48 billion aid package for the war-torn country, including billions of dollars in weapons that have already been sent to Ukraine. According to a variety of reports, the president's son, Hunter, has also arranged millions of dollars in financing for Metabiota, a Pentagon contractor that runs biolabs all across Ukraine. There are claims the U.S. government had secret biochemical labs in Ukraine since 2005, and conservative media outlets, as well as podcasters, have been accused of spreading Russian propaganda and misinformation by talking about this.
And not only does Ukraine have secret biolabs, Toria Nuland said, whatever they're doing in those labs is so dangerous and so scary that she is, quote, quite concerned that the so-called research material inside those biolabs might fall into the hands of Russian forces.
It's a matter of public record that there is work taking place in those areas. I mean, how many times do I just say bio, biosecurity, biosafety, biosurveillance? Does sound a bit like bio research labs might be part of it. Then you add to the detail that there is concern. This isn't conspiracy theory.
Here are the undeniable facts. There are 25 to 30 U.S.-funded biolabs in Ukraine.
Despite the emerging evidence of these biolabs, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, the White House and the State Department and the Pentagon have all unequivocally denied that these labs exist. After the all-out denials, the Pentagon then released a fact sheet about the government's efforts to lessen the threat of weapons of mass destruction in Ukraine, Russia, and other former Soviet countries. Just to be clear, the official line from the Pentagon is that biological research labs do exist, but that these labs are being used for strengthening public health measures. The Pentagon has gone on to say, quote, the United States has also worked collaboratively to improve Ukraine's biological safety, security, and disease surveillance for both human and animal health, providing support to 46 peaceful Ukrainian laboratories, health facilities, and disease diagnostic sites over the past two decades, unquote. So how did all of this come to light? It was only months ago, during a congressional hearing, when Undersecretary of State Victoria Nuland responded to Senator Marco Rubio asking if Ukraine had biological weapons.
Ukraine has biological research facilities, which, in fact, we are now quite concerned Russian troops, Russian forces may be seeking to gain control of. So we are working with the Ukrainians.
To explain this away, the State Department says Nuland was referring to Ukrainian diagnostic and biodefense laboratories during her testimony. And these are different from biological weapons facilities, and instead these biodefense labs counter biological threats throughout the country. So it seems that the government is walking a very fine line here in these statements. On one hand, they said, yes, there are labs, but on the other hand, no, they're not being funded by the United States. Well, when I was working at the CIA, working against Iraq, one of the things I learned early on in my career was that if you wanted to create a biolab, all you needed was a kitchen sink, a refrigerator, and a stovetop. It's literally that easy, and it's that dangerous. To understand just how dangerous these labs are, let's bring in the investigative journalist who was behind the very first report on these Ukrainian biolabs. Patrick Lawrence, a correspondent abroad for many, many years, chiefly for the International Herald Tribune. He's also a columnist and essayist, author and lecturer, and he's currently writing for Consortium News. Patrick, it's good to see you.
John, how nice to see you again.
Your most recent book is called Time No Longer, Americans After the American Century. You've done extensive research on all of these biolabs, and we still know exactly what kind of research was taking place there and where the congressional oversight was when a sitting U.S. senator had to ask the most basic question about whether or not this lab exists in the first place. What's your take on this?
Putting someone under oath has very interesting effects on on people. We saw this when the whole Russiagate fiasco collapsed in May 2020. So Nuland was under oath. She didn't have any choice, I don't think, but to acknowledge these things. But look, we have to start here. At this point, John knows better than I, a very, very extraordinary proportion of American government, American policy, and American conduct abroad is not visible to us. So we have to work with what we know. And I come out here, 30-odd labs in Ukraine, the Chinese kindly pointed out 330 or something worldwide. What are these doing there? Even if they are dedicated to the purposes the government asserts, why are 30 laboratories in of a very dangerous nature, as John pointed out, in a country as extraordinarily unstable and corrupt as Ukraine? We have to start with that question, right? My very simple answer, we have little time, these are part of a military strategy, a geopolitical strategy, and it's all about being in close proximity to Russia. Mm-hmm. The distinction the government is trying to draw, I don't think we can put very much faith in that.
It seems to me that the government has done a good job so far in squelching what the truth is here. As soon as Victoria Nuland said there were biolabs in Ukraine, the government put out the word that this was fake news and nothing more than a conspiracy. But that wasn't accurate, was it?
Yeah, I mean, an info op got right underway after that. That testimony, anyone who recalls it will remember it. It was quite shocking. Again, she was under oath. If she wasn't, I doubt we would have gotten as much as we got out of Victoria Nuland. So far as I understand, John, correct me if I'm wrong, the Russians don't have any bio labs. They don't have any biological weapons program. They renounced all that some years ago, right? When? Post-Soviet Union or in the later days of the Soviet Union? So they have to account for what these are doing, and they give us the flimsy descriptions that we've already discussed. I don't buy them, right? Another point I want to urge people to think about. 330 of these around the world? Why? What are they doing? My answer to that is it's a question of deployment. What comes out of these labs, needless to say, is very dangerous and easily mishandled to catastrophic effects. I think these labs around the world, and I'm still astonished, 330 of them. I think these labs around the world are strategically placed as part of a U.S. government strategy wherein biological weapons are a part of it, and they are an unacknowledged part of it. That's where I come out. It's very depressing.
U.S. government officials who try to downplay these revelations tell us that this is really no big deal because there are biolabs all over the world. Should that make us feel any better?
Not me, John.
No. Any biolab presumably would be the home of a whole number of pathogens. In the course of your own research, what did you find when it comes to safety and security? Can we trust governments, or can we trust the American government to keep the public safe when these labs are literally all over the place, sometimes in dangerous areas or volatile areas like war zones?
No. In fairness, I have not been in Ukraine. I haven't done any research on the ground by way of safety and security. But I will say this, putting a bio lab in Ukraine seems to me the equivalent of building a nuclear reactor in Japan, right? It's just the wrong place for this kind of activity. Again, we really must ask, what are they doing in, of all places, Ukraine? Yeah. Even if we took the government's explanation for this, why are they in Ukraine? Why aren't they in Austria or Germany?
Patrick, can I also ask you what you think the solution is for all this? I know that we're calling for more transparency to find out the truth. How do you think we go about doing that? I mean, hundreds of these biolabs are all over the world, and obviously the government is regulating these, or third-party contractors are regulating these biolabs. What do we do?
Well, I think we're doing our bit right here. We need to talk about this. We need to bring your viewers into the picture as very best we can. But I've already suggested my idea of a solution. This has to be brought up in the Security Council and other such fora so that governments with the power to act upon the truth of this can move forward. I've been very pleased. First of all, the Chinese jumped in right away and said, well, it's not just 30. This is post-Newland. It's not just 30 in Ukraine. It's I think it's 336 around the world. And pleased once again that they're persisting on this, the Russians too. I think that's the forward edge of this, in my view.
Patrick Lawrence, investigative journalist and author, thank you so much for joining us today. Aside from the question of whether the labs exist, which they most certainly appear to, there's also the question of the legality and ethics behind biolabs. When we come back, we'll speak with a noted human rights attorney and law professor about the legality of these biolabs, especially the ones that are in war zones and without appropriate oversight. Stay tuned.
Forward to talking to you all.
That technology should work for people.
A robot must obey the orders given it by human beings, except where such orders would conflict with the first law.
Show your identification.
We should be very careful about artificial intelligence.
The point, obviously, is to create trust rather than fear.
I would like to take on various jobs.
I mean, with artificial intelligence, we are summoning the demon.
A robot must protect its own existence as own existence.
Thank you.
Welcome back to The Whistleblowers. I'm John Kiriakou. Today we're looking at Ukrainian biolabs and how much the United States knew about them or even participated in funding their research. But there are other questions that we have to explore as well, including questions about the ethics of having bioresearch labs in an active war zone. Let's bring in Francis Boyle. Francis is a professor of international law at the University of Illinois. Professor Boyle, thanks for joining us. You have a long personal history as a human rights attorney and professor of international law. Help us understand the ethics of these biolabs. Who's responsible for them? For example, who pays for them? And who's responsible for their oversight?
Well, John, let me say this for the purpose of this discussion. I was the person who called for and drafted the United States domestic implementing legislation for the Biological Weapons Convention of 1972. The Biological Weapons Anti-Terrorism Act of 1989 that was passed unanimously by both houses of the United States Congress and signed into law by President George Bush Sr. with the approval of the United States Department of Justice. Now, that call was 1985, the legislation 1989. What precipitated my call here was the fact that the Reagan administration and its neoconservatives had begun to abuse DNA genetic engineering for the research, development, testing, and stockpiling of biological warfare weapons in violation of the Biological Weapons Convention. And I figured that if I made the domestic implementing legislation it would make this a crime under United States law. And I put in there the penalty of life imprisonment. The Department of Justice repeatedly tried to get me to include the death penalty, but since I'm an opponent of the death penalty, I refused. And I regret to say that this is what we're seeing over there in Ukraine. The U.S. biological warfare weapons programs that have been going on consistently since the Reagan administration in violation of the Biological Weapons Convention. And I regret to report, despite my best efforts, in violation of my Biological Weapons Anti-Terrorism Act of 1989 that provides for life imprisonment. Remember, John, these biowarfare labs were set up and funded under the auspices of the Pentagon, the Department of War. The Pentagon is not a humanitarian agency. And from everything I have read being produced in the public record, yes, John, it does seem to me that the Pentagon here, the DTRA, was involved in the research, development, testing, stockpiling of biological warfare weapons at these labs in Ukraine.
Not all biolabs are the same. In fact, these labs range from level one to level four labs, correct?
That is correct. And we have the most dangerous is BSL-4 followed by BSL-3. I think they put a BSL-3 there in Odessa. And you have to understand that the only purpose of a BSL-3 and a BSL-4 is to research, develop, test, and stockpile biological weapons. There is no legitimate scientific or medical reason for labs of that nature. And again, remember, these labs in Ukraine were set up by the Department of War. They were not set up by some humanitarian organization. The Pentagon kills people, and the Pentagon has been involved openly and publicly in research, development, testing of illegal biological warfare weapons since at least the Reagan administration. You can read this in my book, Biowarfare and Terrorism, where I have a line-by-line criticism of the Pentagon's original biological defense research program, pointing out line by line that it was offensive and clearly illegal, not yet criminal at that time because my statute has not kicked in.
We're told that these biolabs are essentially designed so that research can be safely conducted there. The people working in the labs can work with some of the most dangerous pathogens on the planet. There are bioresearch labs in 23 different countries, with the largest concentration in Europe, but there are also labs across North America, Asia, Australia, and Africa. With so many labs spread out across the world, and some in especially dangerous places, do you think that we can trust the governments to keep the public safe?
Of course not. They all leak. Our own Fort Detrick leaks, which is a BSL-4. Indeed, today in the Fredericksburg media, you will see ground contamination there at Fort Detrick because they're involved in biological warfare weapons research that clearly is illegal and criminal. They all leak, every one of them. And this is well known. What happened is that the Reagan administration got involved or re-involved in the offensive development of biological warfare weapons, and it set off a biological offensive biological warfare arms race around the world. And so we have other advanced military powers developing biological warfare weapons. China, Russia, the COVID-19 leaked out of that Wuhan BSL-4, and the University of North Carolina BSL-3 helped develop COVID-19. I have a new book on that called Resisting Medical Tyranny that has all the documentation in there. First, there's nothing safe about these BSL-3s and these BSL-4s. Indeed, if you are interested, there is an award-winning documentary by Cohn and Nadler called Anthrax Wars on the dangers of BSL-3s, BSL-4s. I was a consultant to them on that. I was in there, and I said, this is a humanitarian catastrophe waiting to happen. That was 2009, and it did happen at the Wuhan BSL-4. But despite the propaganda line that they are setting out there doing research, I've examined several of the websites and programs at these BSL-3s and BSL-4s. They are all involved in every type of hideous Nazi biological warfare work you can possibly imagine, taking every type of exotic disease they can and seeing if they can weaponize it. That's what's really going on here. It is not legitimate scientific research. It is not legitimate medical research. It is warfare research that is clearly illegal and criminal under my Biological Weapons Anti-Terrorism Act, at least for U.S. citizens involved in this work.
If we can't trust the Pentagon to conduct proper and appropriate oversight, if we can't trust congressional oversight committees to conduct oversight, who can we trust then? Is there any international body that can watch a program like this and make sure that terrible things don't happen?
Well, I've said the only appropriate thing now at this point is to shut down every BSL-3 and BSL-4 in the world. Bolton under Bush Jr. sabotaged a verification protocol for the Biological Weapons Convention. It's dead as a doornail and not going anywhere. The International Atomic Energy Agency has been co-opted by the United States government. That's clear. The Chemical Weapons Convention Organization has also been co-opted by the United States government. So we really can't trust those organizations to supervise anything. Mm-hmm. So I've argued going back to Anthrax War that in 2009, we must shut down every BSL-3 and BSL-4 in the world. As for trusting the Pentagon, excuse me, John, really, I mean, that's the joke of the day, right? What can I say about that?
Well, important analysis from Professor Francis Boyle. Thank you so much, Professor Boyle. And that's our report for today. I'm John Kiriakou, and I'll see you again next week on The Whistleblowers.